Good morning again, my friends. This is David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, and yes, you are listening to Pebbles of Truth on WJCB Radio. Now, as I finished up last week, I made some very uncomfortable statements that I am sure upset many people due to the fact of their lack of biblical teaching. You know, just because something ruffles our doctrine and even our feelings does not make it wrong. If something is said that raises our eyebrows in God, we must never automatically dismiss it, oh no, but we must check it out by the Word of God. Now, truth is ours only after we hold it before the Lord and check it out in the Word of God. Let me say that again. Truth is ours only after we hold it before the Lord and check it out in the Word of God. Remember, our doctrine can only be defended as far as we can find something in the Bible. Now, I would like to repeat my final thought from last week because, you know, it is almost a hidden truth today in the church. Now, God does not give us strength or power or anything of ourselves to hold within ourselves. He gives us nothing to use to overcome sin or to do His will. Oh no, rather God gives us His Son, Jesus Christ, to do all of these things. God says, "Abide in my Son for life." My friend, Christ is resurrection life. Our resurrection life has already overcome all that is contrary to God in humanity. Now, this tells us that our direct goal should never be to focus on our sin and fight. Rather, our goal ought to be to abide in Christ. Wow, abide in Christ. For then we will be abiding in the one who is the very personification of victory over sin. To put this another way, instead of trying to purge sin out of our lives, we need to relinquish to Christ our entire self, relinquish the life in which all of our acts of sin find their root. Try to fight sin without relinquishing the ground in which it or sin is planted, and you will lose every time. Let me say that again. Try to fight sin without relinquishing the ground in which it, sin, is planted, and you will lose every time. And in fact, you will be walking in unbelief and ignorance. You know, nowhere in the Bible are we called upon to win a victory. Rather, we are called to abide in the one who has already won the victory, and that would be Jesus Christ. This means that instead of allowing sin to overcome us and come between us and God, we need to abide in Christ despite our sin. And if we do, we will find that victory in Him and Him alone. How silly it is to allow sin to come between us and the one who is our answer to sin. That is unbelief, my friend. Rather, we abide in Christ and then can experience His victory. My friend, there is no defeat in God. Let me say that again. There is no defeat in God. If you are looking for defeat today, you cannot find it in Him. Sadly, despite the fact that this is a foundational truth and the only path of truth, so many, maybe millions of Christians today are blind to it because of wrong teaching. You know, God intends there come a time in our lives when we can turn from sin to Christ. It is then that we need by faith to turn to Christ. God will open up our eyes to this reality. Oh yes, He will cut through all of the confusion and the power of our flesh and show us His possibilities. But of what value is it to merely try to turn from sin but not turn to Christ? That would be like walking circles within the same prison cell. No, the only way out of sin is to turn to Christ, believing He wants us to be free, and believing that He has already done all that is possible for our freedom. And as mentioned, the first sin from which we must turn is that of our self-ownership. You know, God's goal is to form Christ in us. Let me say that again. God's goal is not to make it rich and famous and popular, but is to form Christ in us. Galatians 4:19. But in Romans 8, 28, 29, there is a misapplication of this divine spiritual principle that has devastating consequences in lives due to the misapplication of the word conformed as it is taught in verse 29. Paul writes this, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose." Verse 29, "For whom he did foreknow, he also predestined," or to be conformed into the image of his Son, "that he," Jesus, "might be the first fruits among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestine, them he also called, and whomever he calls, them he also glorifies, and whom he justified, whom he also glorified." Now, to be conformed to the image of his Son does not mean to be made to look like Jesus. Oh no, we are not meant to become little miniature versions of Christ. Let me say that again. We are not meant, it's not God's will for us to, you know, to be little miniature versions of Christ. God does not act upon us by his Spirit or do things to us by his power in order to make us into little Xerox copies of his Son. No, rather, Christianity is Christ in us. Let me say that again. True Christianity is Christ in us. Thus, to be conformed to Christ is the result of Christ within us. Let me say that again. To be conformed to Christ is the result of Christ being in us. It is not the result of some other power coming upon us from without. It is the power of Christ's life within us, the believer that begins to work in the belief of all that is of God is out from Christ. Thus, the impact is first within, and then it is without. In effect, the purpose of God is to manifest Christ who dwells in the believer in and through that believer. The Greek of the above verse bears this out. To be conformed to the image of Christ means to be formed together with Christ. I hope you can see the difference here, my friend. Here, the Greek word somorphous actually means to be formed within. The prefix sum denotes with, and the word morphous means to form. Gather this all up, and we can see that God wants his plan. He wants to form the believer together with his Son, resulting in the manifestation of Christ through those who that are in Christ. Now, there's another way to state the same truth. It is God's purpose to make each believer compatible with Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. It is God's purpose to make each believer compatible with Jesus Christ. But this does not mean that Christ just adds some value to the relationship and we add some value. Oh, no. No, being made compatible with Christ means that he brings all of the value and all of the life and all of the light and all of the truth to our spiritual union with him. Thus, we must have our flesh and our natural man crucified so that we can receive him and live in what he brings solely by his grace through faith. My friend, this is a critical issue to see. The truth is that Christ in us is all and is our all and in all. We are nothing, and being made compatible with Christ means being formed together with him, means that we must be brought to the place where we are able to live in that truth. Wow, to live in that truth. I just so hope that you understand that point, because it is critical that you understand that point, because this is the foundation of our salvation experience. So many Christians do not know how to be saved because they do not know what being saved means, and we must come back to the Word of God and allow the Word of God to speak to us and give us an understanding of how we are justified and how we are sanctified by the Lord. And it's just critical that we come to understand that. Tune in next week, and I will share more on this topic of abiding in Christ. So God bless, and we'll talk to you next week. Amen.